people ask me, I tell them, these are the markets I serve. It's where I hang out. It's where I want to be. It's efficient for my time. And I know it. I don't know every other market around. I just don't. I study what I know.
We met 6 or so years ago at Madcap Coffee on Fulton Street. And I remember sitting there on a nice sunny day, which is pretty rare for Grand Rapids, Michigan, except for this week because of global warming. Thank you. And you walked in, you were 10 feet tall. I was super excited. And you wanted to talk about the fact that you were just coming back from playing some basketball overseas. You were just getting into real estate and you wanted to figure out how you were going to, you know, build your empire. And ironically, that is the same meeting I have with every realtor, the 3,000 realtors I've met, but you actually did it. Fast forward 6 years, you're one of the number one realtors in the state. You're certainly one, I mean, you have to be like number one in our area. And you have a whole bunch of accolades. You just opened a brokerage. You have an amazing reputation. You're still 10 feet tall. I don't know if you're still good at basketball, but that's irrelevant for now. So Kyle, welcome to the show. And just like, how did you do it? Like, how did you go from new realtor to number one? Like, what, I want to hear about that story. And I guess maybe let's start with, where are you now? What were the numbers in 2023?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the introduction.
That's a lot, right?
It was. But that's pretty spot on. But except, I think it was 8 years ago. If I'm doing the
math. 8 years ago that we met.
I know. Math goes, or time goes quick. Came back in 2015. At the end of 2015, I retired, jumped into real estate in early 2016 as a full-time realtor, not knowing what I was doing at all. Knew I loved houses, loved people, knew I wanted to market better, find people like you to help me get to where I want to go. So super competitive, background of professional basketball, still 10 feet tall. I would say mediocre at basketball, although I haven't played in 6 years. Literally, I have not played basketball in 6 years. Play a lot of golf, very mediocre at golf. So
you're kind of like Jordan, right? Like you got good at basketball, then you decided to focus on golf and real estate.
Pretty much. Yeah. But I'm, yes, not betting like $50,000 a hole. Not yet at least, but maybe at some point.
Yeah. But I mean, he sold a basketball team for $3 billion. So maybe that could be your next step to emulate.
He could do that. So numbers, I mean, I did land at number one last year in Grand Rapids, which was, you know, that's always been a dream of mine, I guess, something I put out there. I'm a big believer in setting goals and then figuring out how to get there. So year 8 in real estate, landed at number one. I was number two the previous year and kind of just climbed up the ranks and have done that with a very small team, very strategically.
What's the team? Tell us about what the team, what does the team size look like?
5 of us total. Kyle Visser team. I'm the team lead. I'm also a broker owner. We can get into that in a little bit. But was with Keller Williams for the first 8 years of my career and really started trying to just be the best brand possible in the market. And I had some targets on some people's back and created a team over time to get to where we are now. Everyone on my team is a licensed agent. There's 4 additional people on my team, all licensed agents, and 2 of them working in some sort of volume production, and 2 of them more working in the administrative side so I can keep sane. I mean, they do everything, as Kevin Polakovich likes to say, put the pickles on the burger, do all the extras for me so that I could be out with my clients selling. I am good with clients. I'm good at selling. I'm good at being forward facing. I am not good at paperwork. I am not good at systems. I'm a go, go, go guy, highly interactive, but I know my shortcomings and that's why I brought some people in.
I mean, we could talk for half an hour about how a mark of a good salesperson who's made it to that level of the career is knowing their shortcomings and knowing where they should be spending their time. But let's get into your production really quick. So you have basically, there's 3 of you guys that are in production on the team that are out there with buyers, sellers, et cetera. What kind of production did you guys do in 2023?
Yeah, last year, 2023, there was just 2 of us in production. We just hired our 3rd. And we did nearly $80 million in real estate, high 70s. Of that, I personally did about 70 of it. And Samantha on my team, did, you know, about $8 million of it. So,
So obviously we're in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah. You do a lot in East Grand Rapids, Forest Hills, Ada. But I mean, did you do one $70 million property or what was the unit count on that?
Yeah. So I believe our numbers were 146 properties closed last year. That's by Amazon side. I primarily handle all listings. So of that, I would say probably about 90 were listings that I did every single one of them. And then I held about 20 to 30 buyers. Sam did 35 buyers. So that's 146 deals. You do an average of about 500,000 per deal because the average here is 350 to 400 in Grand Rapids. Puts us at $77 million. So that's kind of a quick back and napkin breakdown.
That's awesome. So number one, I love that you know your numbers, because I think the mark of every good agent who's at that level is you need to not only know your numbers, but you also need to know the market's numbers. So to know that the average price in our market's in the 350s, 360s, you guys are at 500, you guys are in the top end of the market, but obviously you still work with everybody else too, which is, I think you kind of have to in an area where we live. I want to talk about the mix up of your business and where it comes from. So, you know, you've been in the business, so you said since 2015, 2016. So that's 8 to 9 short years. To build up to $80 million in that, I mean, that's what people wish they could do in their entire career. You did it relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. You were a newcomer in the market. Where does your business come from? I don't see you on all the crazy paid lead sources, buying leads everywhere. I don't see you on billboards. I mean, like, what is the mix of your business? And I kind of know the answer, but I want to hear it from
you. Yeah, it's a good question. I think early on, you know, I was told make this many calls, do this kind of stuff, gimmicky type stuff, in my opinion, at least how I want to do my business. I've never once paid for a lead. I've never cold called a single human being. I do everything organically and relationally. I'm from Grand Rapids, which helps. Left when I went to college at Wake Forest playing basketball, went overseas for 8 years. So I was gone for 12 years. Had a good reputation here because I was always home for the summers. But people knew me as Kyle Visser, the basketball player that we trust, we love. He's a good dude, gives back, you know, puts on camps, all that. But they didn't trust me as a realtor, like with our biggest asset. Do we want this guy that's good at, you know, hook shots and, you know, maybe dunks, whatever? Do we want him to handle our sale? And it took a few years for me to get into that position where people actually sought after me. And for me, it was a combination. It was looking at the market. My coach in college, one thing that I take from him, he's since passed, but he told me, don't criticize success, analyze success. And if there's one thing I can tell new agents is, don't go hate on me and the other realtors out there doing the business you want to do. It's easy to hate. It's easy to criticize. It's harder to actually analyze and say, what are these people doing right? And what can I do better? I looked at the market here in Grand Rapids. I said, okay, there's some heavy hitters doing the business where I want. I'm from Forest Hills. My wife is from East Grand Rapids. When we moved back from Germany, we landed in East Grand Rapids. So these are the markets that naturally, I said, that's what I want to go after. Who are the heavy hitters doing it? And how do I do it better? You know? So I looked at their, you know, their strategies, the way they went around about business. And, you know, I didn't compare my chapter 1 or 2 to someone's chapter 25, right? I just had to take my time to get to their next chapter and grow my business. So it was at first, go everywhere, right? Learn the business, gain experience, up, down, north, south, wherever it was, take it, you know? And at times it wasn't fun. And I was doing open houses no one showed up to. And, you know, I grinded. You know, absolutely grind it. Just because I didn't do cold calls, I did other lead generating activity. Every weekend, I was doing 1 to 2 open houses because I knew if 6'11" Kyle was in front of those people, they were at least going to remember me in the open house. And there was a good chance I was going to be able to, you know, direct that conversation to the next steps. So I was doing open houses. I was using social media at all times to our advantage. And this was the wild, wild west of social media when there wasn't all kinds of restrictions on what we could target and what we could throw at and all that stuff, you know? So I was using that to our advantage, just putting out, paid content and stuff like that. And, awesome, just the best, you know, video and photography that I could do. And then eventually it was literally just claiming that I was the realtor for East Grand Rapids and Forest Hills. Those are the two markets I serve nearly exclusively. Like, I do some outside, some peripheral areas, but if people ask me, I tell them, these are the markets I serve and the markets I truly focus on and where I want to be the best realtor. They're what I know. It's where I hang out. It's where I want to be. It's efficient for my time. And I know it. I don't know every other market around. I just don't. I study what I know.
Real estate has a lot of contracts. I want this podcast to have a social contract as well. Here's what I need from you. If you're listening to the show and you get something valuable out of it, or you hear something that you think, that's awesome, I want you to send me a DM on Instagram, or if you find my email, send it that way. The more feedback that I get helps me to put together better shows and attract better guests.
Let's unpack this for a little bit. So when agents come in to meet, they always want to be the number one agent in the most expensive area. Mm-hmm. And my first question to them is, do you live in and hang out in that area?
True.
Do your kids go to school there? Do you go to the gym there? Do you have signs up there already? Like, are you at the hardware store, the bar, et cetera? Because I'm not going to say the person's name, but I know the agent that you, in essence, dethroned in East Grand Rapids. And I have a high level of respect for that person. Mm-hmm. And I think agents listening can reflect on their market and think of, like, who is that predominant name? And that other agent, before you came along back from Germany, I would go to the bar, I'd go to the restaurants in East, and she would always be there. Always. Always holding court at happy hour. She would always be at the football games. She would always be around at every single event. And that was her 20-year thing until it didn't make sense for her lifestyle anymore. Right. And you come in, and all of a sudden, you're that guy. People can tell that you're all in on real estate. You're doing those open houses. Whether or not people come, doesn't matter, because you now have social media content about those houses. You're showing people that you're doing, you know, multiple real estate related things in these areas every day. And all of a sudden, after 2 years of grinding like that, it's established that you are, what is your moniker for people that don't know? You are the...
Call the big guy. I'm the big guy. So
you're the big guy, right?
Find your and, right? I mean, what is your unique differentiating thing about you, right? What is it? What is someone going to remember you for, right? There's a lot of people good at real estate, but not everyone's 6'11". So that was what I went with.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you can really capitalize on, like, big results, big value, hard work. I mean, I think a lot of the sports stuff that you brought with you in training, like, that served you really well. But how long were you really doing it before you felt like you had a market share in the area? So obviously right now you're a hard number one in the whole market, mm-hmm. but how long before you felt like you really were number one for the two cities that you were really trying to hit, or even one of them?
Yeah, I would say it took a solid 3 to 4 years in, let's call it, East Grand Rapids, where I was living, to really gain that market traction. I don't know if I would say I was at number one at that point, but I was getting there. Depending on the month and the season, I was probably number one here and there, with stretches of becoming known as the new go-to guy for East Grand Rapids real estate. And secondly, also Forest Hills, where I'm from and where I had a huge community. So I think being all in, and yes, exactly, being around, being at pickups for the kids' stuff. And it wasn't cheesy, you know. And in fact, when I first got into real estate, I came from basketball and found myself in real estate, and all of a sudden I felt myself, like, needing to, like, have a business card in my pocket and talk to the mom at the, you know, play set at the school. And it felt gimmicky. It felt slimy, to be honest. And I almost decided against real estate, because I was like, I don't want to be salesy to people. I want to truly connect and help people, but this job feels too gimmicky and slimy. So I made a conscious effort, like, either I'm going to stop doing real estate, or I need to be not that guy that has a business card, just only striking up conversations for my own good and only spending time with people because they may buy or sell real estate in the next 6 months, right? So I quickly made a point to be not the salesy guy and to be a truly just an advocate for people, answer questions, and provide real information. So we do that.
So let's talk about that information. Let's talk about it. Like, I get calls on a weekly basis, yep, of people that want to replicate what you're doing. And I tell them, hey, yeah, figure it out. I mean, you get it in the mail. It's public information. But, you know, put the effort in and make it. And no one ever does it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's one of those things where.
Yeah,
it's hard.
It's consistency, right? You figure out, you don't have enough eggs to put in every basket. But realtors in general love to put one egg in this basket, one egg in this basket, one in this, instead of just being like, what is working? What works best for me? What's good for my mentality? What I'm good at? And you know, through you guys bringing an amazing speaker pre-COVID to Grand Rapids. I remember this Arizona, I don't remember his name, you might remember, but a guy from Arizona, he's in the one tidbit that I took from him was him talking about this community report that he put together that was like life-changing for his business, right? So I thought, oh, you know, it's funny. I live in East Grand Rapids, the most expensive price per square foot in West Michigan, yet I don't get marketed to via mail. Now, I'm 38. Like, mail seems outdated and snail mail, like, what? But I thought, that's an untapped resource that no one's really going after. I'd get occasionally the just sold or for sale, but, you know, like...
You get one-off. Yeah, there's one-off marketing, but there's no one that was doing a consistent thing.
Consistently. So I
think that's like a write this down moment for everyone listening, right? Like if you analyze the five or so main marketing forms, you have print mail, you have billboards, social media in your area, and you have people that sponsor all the local events. Whatever you don't see in your area is a ridiculous opportunity for you in any city that you're in. So Kyle, tell us, what is the Vista report? How long have you been doing it? What's the frequency? Give us all the details on what this report that you're putting together entails.
This goes out. It's a Vista report. It goes out quarterly. It's a beautiful marketing piece first. Like, it's gorgeous. It lands. It feels good. It's tangible. It's this direction because I'm this direction. It's vertical in nature. It feels
vertical. For all the people listening, it's a vertical mailer.
Yes. And open it up. And first thing, front of it has a summary, what's happened, recap of Q3, whatever quarter we just finished, right? Hey, this is what we're seeing. This is what I think is going to happen. And then we open it up. The stats from the previous quarter. The middle is a community spotlight. So let's highlight someone doing something awesome in our community, whether it's, you know, a sports, you know, someone going on to play at Michigan State or somebody that's opened up a restaurant, you know, the Olives Redo by Gene Stouffer, whatever it is. Like, let's highlight that. It's super cool for the community, right? And let's give them some credit. And it gets people to connect with the piece because it's not just real estate. You know, it's not just in your face real estate. And the other side is for my clients. We show our active listings to every single door. So if you're an East Grand Rapids seller, it goes through every single door of East Grand Rapids. So all of a sudden they open it up. It's like, oh, that 123 Plymouth, that's a pretty cool house. Let's go look at it on Zillow. You know, and then it shows some of our sold sales. Treadstone gives some awesome tidbits about what's happening in the interest rate market and just, you know, some tips for home buyers and what they could be doing. So it's just like, it's this piece that's concise, but beautiful. And offers true tangible value to a homeowner so they know what is going on around them, what homes are selling for, price per square foot, how many homes are on the market, days on market, all those things. It goes out every quarter, regardless of what's going on and how busy we are in here. It's a no-brainer. So we do that. We've done that for 5 years in East Grand Rapids. We've done it for 3 years in Forest Hills. That's a total of 18,000 doors that receive this every single quarter. And then we sometimes double down with a 45-day piece. And what I find is you have to do it. Like, if you're not in it for the long haul, don't do it at all. The one-offs don't do anything. Like, either get in the game or stay in the game. It's not a cheap piece, but the ROI is incredible. And it's truly a benefit to the community. So they understand more and more about what's happening in the market. And I sit down at listing appointments all the time and people are like, we love this piece. We get it every quarter. We can't wait to open it up.
Well, and also, like, let's talk about that listing piece for a second, because I imagine that when you sit down at a listing appointment and you probably look like a giant in that person's, you know, little normal size kitchen table and chairs, I imagine that when they're saying, like, well, Kyle, like, why should I choose you over the other 3,400 agents in town? If they're in East, if they're in one of these markets that you do these mailers to, it's your house will factually get more marketing and more money spent on it than other agents who would promote your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's like an easy piece. So if you're an agent listening out there, think about all of the marketing that you're doing already. Use that as ammunition when you sit down for a listing, so that you can say, this is what you get extra by working with me versus the other 5,000 agents out there. I mean, that is something I think a lot of agents forget, but it's a ridiculous piece of value that you're creating for that community, but also for the individuals who choose to work with your team.
And going into that, I mean, you have the brilliant marketing mind, and that's why I came to you early on. And I think I have some ideas, but you truly know. And I think you probably resonate with this realtor mentality of putting one egg in this basket, one in this, and one in this. When in reality, it's like soar with your strengths. There are people that are great at social media. There are people that are great at, you know, cold calling. Like if that's your strength, then I'd be curious what you see people doubling down on in other markets. And, you know, as far as the marketing goes, like I've doubled down on this old school mailer and social media, but that doesn't mean it's 100% right for everybody else.
Yeah. So I usually like that. And that's a great question. So I would usually say like mailers can be really great with consistency, right? But it's never the thing that I would tell an agent to do in their first 2 years because it does cost a small fortune. Mm-hmm. And so I say, at the very beginning, I want an agent doing all the hard stuff. I want you doing 6 open houses a weekend.
Totally.
I want you working every person in your database and calling to add some sort of value or to find a question or something in common you can ask them. If you finish all of that stuff, you should have a couple deals and some cash in your account. You hopefully save the right way. And then you can start looking at what are the paid marketing pieces that I should be doing. And some people reinvest all that money back in their existing clients or back in some sort of community marketing, sponsorship, et cetera. And other people do go the mailer route or the social media ad route. And I think both can be great options, but it's mic drop.
Yeah,
it's really about like capitalizing on what your existing assets are. So you happen to be a very recognizable guy, right? You happen to have a physical trait that's being tall, and you had a little, I mean, you weren't like NBA famous, but you know, people in town did know you through basketball. So for you, a mailer and anything that gets your face out there reminds me like, oh, Kyle, like I vaguely remember that guy. Oh, he's a realtor now. That stuff will work better for you. Right. If you're a realtor and you just moved to the market and you don't know anybody, you're not going to have the same return on an investment, because you're not going to have the same level of luck on that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we would need to look at, okay, how do we add more value, or how do we make this mailer include something that's going to get someone to contact you?
Right.
But it's a little bit different for every person. And I think everyone needs to analyze their strengths first and what assets they're bringing to the table.
The Neighborhood Realtor Podcast is proudly made possible by the support of our sponsors, Treadstone Funding and Neighborhood Loans, two amazing Midwest mortgage companies that now have offices all around the country. If you're a real estate agent looking to partner with an amazing lender, DM me at MattMuskett88 and I'll connect you with someone in your market. If you're a lender and you want to join the right mortgage company, DM me and I'll connect you as well.
Kyle, what's next? I mean, like you just opened a brokerage, you just hired a new team member. Obviously, you're going to grow this year. You've grown every year. What's next? Like when you're looking at your marketing plan, when you're looking at your sales plan, what's happening next?
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. We just picked up this incredible property that we are going to showcase the entire start to finish of rehabbing this insanely cool mid-century modern home that I fell in love with. I have zero time to do this, but I like to say yes to stuff and figure it out later. So we got this amazing property that we're going to unveil here in the next week of that is highly recognizable in the Grand Rapids market. Second, just opened Reside Geo.
Let's talk more about that. So you bought a property or you're listing a property?
No, bought it. I was going to list it. Sellers didn't want to go to market. I fell in love with it and told them, and I offered them exactly what I told them I would list it for. And demo starts Sunday.
So you're demoing. So what is the marketing plan for this? So you're going to walk people along the journey of how you bought it, what it looked like, and then what you're doing to it?
Correct. Yeah. And highlight the people we do things with, our vendors, because I am incredibly passionate about, you know, giving people the spotlight and the credit when they help me get to where I go. So yes, exactly that. We're going to do like an 8-episode thing. Chapter 1. Finding the house. Why this house? Why this mid-century home? Because I look at homes all the time. I see dumps all the time. But you got to look past, you know, cosmetics, and, you know, you got to look truly at bones of a house and what a house offers. So, and just document the piece. Reason being, A, people love storytelling. People love seeing. I mean, that's why there's 400 shows about fixing up houses. But at the end of the day, like, I believe in Grand Rapids real estate. I am bullish on where we are going, that there is upside, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I believe we need to be our best customers as realtors, right? We need to invest as we tell our clients to invest. So this was a property that needed to be brought back to life. And I said, I'm willing to do it because I have the resources, and we're going to do an incredible design on it, and it's going to be beautiful.
Well, and I think that's such a great opportunity because you're going to be able to show someone the whole story in their actual market, right? We already know that people love watching all these shows, like Love It or List It, Fix or Flip, Property Brothers. And I mean, that's not even counting all the Netflix stuff that's out there. Uh-huh. But for people to be able to see that journey in a local home that's in their market, I think then also lets people know, hey, Kyle's the guy to call because he has all these extra resources. And again, now you're creating an even more engaging audience, right? People that maybe their brother's a realtor, their cousin's a realtor, you are now going to have that extra level of credibility and extra reason for those people to tune in.
Right.
So for realtors listening out there, when you're buying a house, I mean, so many realtors have investment properties, but don't post about them or market them or talk about them because they don't want to seem braggy. But your clients want to know. They want to know what the process is like. They want to know how it's done in your area. And they need to know that you have this other little specialty of expertise inside of being a realtor, right? There's 3,400 of us in town. How can you be different? You have now have this skill set that you can market.
100%.
This expertise.
And
I love that.
It gives you credibility to speak realistically to upgrade costs, renovation costs. When I take people through, I'm like, look, I just did a kitchen very similar to this. Cabinet package was 12,000. Countertops were 6,000. With new appliances, call it 6,000-7,000. Like I can talk hard numbers with people and say, look, this home is valued pretty decently. You put the 50,000 into this area, you're going to have 50,000 in equity. I guarantee it down the road. And it's like, you do it when you want. So I think there is credibility there. I think there's a story to be told. And I think it's just a cool thing to do on the side. I'm not per se a flipper. I think I've done 8 gut renovations over my 8 years. And this being the biggest of them all and the one I'm most excited about.
Well, I can't wait. Hopefully I'll get an invite to the, usually you do like a little broker open champagne cocktail kind of party. So don't lose my invite when it's ready.
Tequila was the last one I think you came out to. Yeah. We try to have a little fun with it. So besides that, flip is very secondary to what I do. I'm adamant to buy and sell real estate for my clients. That is my first and foremost. That is my intentions. I put my clients' needs always before my own when it comes to buying and selling real estate. And secondly, after 8 amazing years with Keller Williams, which is a great brokerage, I went off on my own. I started my own brokerage, which was a dream of mine for probably the past 3 years. And about 6 months worth of branding, brainstorming, and just getting to the point of pulling the trigger. Here we are. It's called Reside of Reside GR. So residegr.com is our website. And it's, in my opinion, the most beautiful brand in Grand Rapids. It is both luxury yet approachable. I want the highest quality real estate to be done under this brand. And currently the only 5 people that are under Reside happen to be my team. In the future, I may build that out into a true brokerage model. But for now, it's truly just for my team to present marketing and homes as beautifully as possible. And I truly believe with this new brand behind us and us paving our own way, it'll happen.
So I love that. And I've gone by your office. It looks stunning. You have a great client meeting area and you've created a warm space. Like all of your stuff matches really well.
Yeah.
Want to ask you a question. So what would the Kyle Visser today, who's doing $80 million, go back and tell the Kyle from 2016 to do differently or to maybe alter a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, before I answer that, I tell people 3 things all the time that got me somewhere. Besides who I am and the differentiated factors, being 6'11", that's helpful, and being able to truly connect with people. Let's put that aside. Soft skills, right? The skills, you got to learn how to do open houses, first and foremost. I cannot encourage new agents anymore to do open houses. How can 25 pre-qualified buyers walk through your door in an hour and a half? It's the most no nonsense, no brainer use of your time as a realtor. Now you need to go figure out how to, you don't have the listings. Go figure out how to get them. Network with the top agents.
Beg and plead, make it happen.
And show that you're professional and you're going to handle them correctly. That's all that people in my position want to know. They need to know that you're going to get the home prepared. You're going to showcase it properly. You're not going to let the cat out, whatever it is. So number one. Number two, figure out social media. You got to promote what you do. You got to show that you love what you do. I truly love what I do. It comes across in my social media. I show all the time how passionate I am. So those are the two things. And then for me, third was just coffee meetings. I love coffee. I drink coffee all day long. It's a finite amount of time, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever it is. I don't like eating in front of people. I just like to drink coffee and truly connect with people and be authentic. Don't sell yourself. Connect with them. Ask how you can help them. So those are the three things that helped me get where I got. The number one thing I could tell somebody, maybe myself, and I bet on myself early, is figure out whether you want to go the team approach or the individual realtor approach. And you got to figure out what fits you better. And once you do that and you start getting established and you do go off on your own, double down on the things you're not good at, right? I hired my first hire 6 months into the business, and I was scared, you know, to crap, to do that, to have someone else, you know, that I'm liable for their well-being. But you know what? I doubled my business because of that hire immediately, because all of a sudden I didn't have to do 80% of the work that I'm not good at. I can just focus on the 20% that I know I crush it at and that people pay me for. Right? Negotiating, marketing, truly connecting, networking, all the things that I do every single day. If you saw my day to day, it's been nonstop, boom, 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 you know, and in houses, out of houses, putting connections together, marketing. So for me, I think once you're ready and you have a base under you and there's some establishment, don't be afraid to hire. I tell this to all of my closest colleagues in Grand Rapids that do 15 million, 20 million. You can ask them. I said, the fact that you have not hired anybody is mind-blowing to me, that you could hire someone for $40,000 to $50,000, give you your life back, and truly double what you do next year is crazy. To make another $400,000 because you hire a $50,000 person. So that would be probably the thing I would, you know, tell myself to do again, and something I was super scared of.
Don't be afraid to buy your time back. Don't be afraid to invest in getting your time.
Right. And even if that just means spending a little more time with your family, things you enjoy, your health. I mean, there's so many people that put their health aside. If you're not truly working on your body and your temple and your mind first, you're not going to be as successful as you want. I was at the gym at 6 a.m. this morning. I did a hike at 8 a.m. I was in the office at 9, you know, and you got to take care of yourself.
And I can vouch for you. I see you at MVP at 6 in the morning. You're probably exercising. I'm playing pickleball.
You are pickleball.
But which is shocking because I'm slightly younger than you. And pickleball has an old rap to it. But it's a fun game, I promise, for everyone out there. So, Kyle, you're the guy in West Michigan. If someone listening has a referral, wants to connect with a great agent like you, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah. You know, Kyle@KyleVisser.com is my email. You can find me at KyleVisser.com. There's a contact form there. And I will say, I'll be honest with you. If it's a market I serve and somebody I can make sure I do a great job for you, I will tell you that. And if not, I'll find someone that's good for you. Because I sometimes get referrals and it's not the right fit for me and my business because it'll distract me from the business I'm focusing on. So I will only take that referral if I know 100% your client is going to get the absolute best customer service possible.
I feel like statements like that are why you're at the level you're at. So Kyle, thank you so much for your years of support, and thank you for being on the show today.